Hazur says, in the previous Friday sermon, I spoke with reference to the hosts and also the duty workers, and I drew their attention towards the fact that at the Jalsa Salana, respecting and honoring the guests who come for it, extending hospitality to them in this manner is the sign of a true believer. And in these days of the Jalsa Salana, the demonstration of this outstanding moral quality, the expression of this should be demonstrated through the actions of every duty worker, whatever department that worker may be working in. Today, once again, I will say a few things regarding this topic. But the responsibilities of guests, and also what kind of guest a believer should be, I will also speak on this. And similarly, as is my custom normally, I will also provide certain instructions regarding the administration of Jalsa. I will also remind people towards this. This is also extremely crucial. Although this guidance is also included in the program of the Jalsa Salana, which is printed. But the experience is as follows, that people give scant attention towards reading this program, or they do not understand the significance of this guidance. And anyhow, reminders are something beneficial, and Allah the Almighty say that keep on reminding believers, and that reminder that is given in accordance to Allah and the Prophet's advice, that is definitely, that is something beneficial and advantageous to them. And there is an excellence of Jamaat Ahmadiyya, which is that this is that Jamaat who have accepted the Imam of this time and also the great lover of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And the foundation and the basis for the Jamaat is in accordance with Allah and His Prophet's commandments to follow all of those commands. That is, the foundation of this is in accordance with Allah and the Prophet's commands. It is based on this. And then this alone is that Jamaat that today has that honor in the world. That after the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, the divinely established system of Khilafat has been granted to it. So therefore, when the members of this Jamaat are reminded and counseled, and when they are counseled in light of Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's commands, then those members of the Jamaat in particular make efforts to implement this, and they should implement this and make efforts to it, because without this there will be no distinction between us and others, that we are those who sit and stand at one hand and who listen to these guidances and advice and draw attention towards it. May Allah make it so that whatever is advised in this sermon, you implement it. And the advice that is imparted from myself and other speakers, this topics of moral, spiritual and educational aspects, may all of you, both here at the Jalsa and at home, adopt and implement these guidances. In the previous week's sermon, I spoke in light of a hadith with regard to the hosts and also the duty workers, that a believer who believes in Allah and the Last Day, it is his obligation and it is his duty that he should respect and honor his guests. And general hospitality is normally for 3 days and 3 nights. Although in certain circumstances, Hospitality can be extended for a greater period for this, and this has occurred. But here, by mentioning 3 days and three nights, guests have also been drawn attention towards that although it is the work of hosts that with respect and with honor, they should extend hospitality to their guests. And this is a due right of the guests. But guests must also be aware of their limits and their boundaries. If you want to transgress beyond those limits, then at certain times, due to the nature of certain hosts, they may become very anxious. This is why further in this hadith, it is stated, and the honor of a guest is also incited by saying that to make people extend their hospitality beyond this is sadaqah. And no honorable or dignified person would want to devour sadaqah. Then it is also mentioned in this hadith that it is not permissible that a guest remains with a host to extend hospitality for such a long period. That would harm or make the host suffer. It is obvious when a person is caused suffering, then a person will become anxious, and he does become anxious because of this. Everybody is bound upon their circumstances and their engagements. If there is a system of the Jama'at, then they also have certain issues they have to take into account. This is why hospitality, which is such a quality that incites respect and honor, it is also there to inculcate love between one another. It is also there to foster sentiments of love and affection between people. So then this is affected, and then what happens is suffering is caused on a level of the Jama'at as well. Communal accommodation, whether it is in the hall or mosque or in any other place, guests can only be kept there for a limited period. After this, representatives of the government also observe us that the arrangements for the accommodation, that the conditions should be met. And are the conditions being met? This is what they observe. This is why, in particular, the guests who have come from outside Europe should take care of this fact. That here, the communal accommodation arrangements can only be utilized by us for a limited period. This is why, if you want to stay for a longer period, then you should make some other arrangements for it. But even in those other arrangements, you should keep this commandment of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in view, that you should not cause suffering to your hosts. To explain every matter in detail is a special quality of Islam, and the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, to also apparently menial or small matters has put it in front of us by way of our moral training and to guide us. So it is the task of a believer to implement these guidances and counsels. By taking care of these apparently menial or trivial matters, it draws attention towards major virtues and it gives a person the ability to accomplish them. And it also incites a person towards sentiments of love and affection, and a society is fostered with these sentiments which are born. And this was a great purpose that the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has explained to us were amongst the purposes of Jalsa Salana. That an atmosphere of love, affection and brotherhood should be fostered, and a society of this kind should be formed. We should always remember that the foundation of such a beautiful atmosphere, which Islam desires to be fostered, the foundation of it is the commandment of Allah and His Messenger, and also of the authority amongst you. So therefore, however much your standard of obedience keeps on increasing and advancing, to that same extent, You will also draw attention towards actually adopting and implementing those things. So therefore, every single person who comes now, he should remember that we must increase our levels of obedience. And we must make strenuous efforts in this regard, so that our steps never start slipping backwards. And so that we can take blessings from the blessings of Jalsa. Some people come here and they say that the arrangements for the Jamaat for 2 or 3 weeks, we will only stay for that time period. And if they want to stay for a longer period than this, they will make their own arrangements, is what they say. But practically speaking, many people stay for many months. And then the administration is troubled because of this. And then because of if Jamaat programs are held, that area is required for those programs. And guests are moved here and there. Then the guests complain. And sometimes complaints even reach me. So I will request such people as well. That first of all, that verbal profession that you have made, you should fulfill that verbal pledge. Secondly, you should take care of obedience to the Nizam, the system of the Jamaat. Even obeying in the smallest of matters takes a person towards piety. Now, if these small matters did not have significance, if these trivial issues did not have an effect on society, and if they did not have an effect on a person's morality, then the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would never have given so much attention towards these small matters. Where it is mentioned in the hadith that hospitality is extended for a small period, this is explained in another hadith of Sahih Muslim. This has been narrated by Abi Shareh Khazai, who says that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that the hospitality is for 3 days, and in particular it is for 1 day and 1 night. It is not permissible for a Muslim that he should stay with his brother for so long that it would make him a sinner. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, how would that make him a sinner?" The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied that if he stays with him for so long that that person has nothing left, he has no food left to provide to that guest, and in this way he becomes a sinner. Now, if a host cannot provide anything to his guest, if he cannot fulfill the right of hospitality, whether it is out of any compulsion or any kind of obligation, then the host becomes a sinner. Then the matter is not just end there, as is mentioned in the hadith previously, which says, do not put the host into any trouble. Now, if the host, due to his high moral standing, takes a loan to in order to extend his hospitality, and in this way puts himself into trouble, and then if according to the promise, the person who takes the loan cannot repay it, then he becomes a sinner in this way. Then at certain times, there are times when a person has to extend a long period of hospitality. Then either the host or the host's household members, they start becoming very troubled for the fact that the guest is remaining at home and he does not leave. And then eventually the guest is scolded. He starts saying abusive things to him. And in this way, the host becomes a sinner. Because in this way, the honor and sanctity of the guest does not remain. So although here the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has spoken about sinners who do not provide food to their guests, but if you go into the details of this, then what is uncovered is that in this one word, there are many counsels which are meant by this. Then, from another angle, hosts have also been drawn their attention towards. That by not discharging your due right to the guest, do not assume that this is just something ordinary that you have done. If you do not discharge this right, you will become a sinner. And your belief in Allah and the Last Day will come to an end. But guests have also been reminded that you will also play a part in making that host a sinner, so therefore you will also be held accountable. So therefore, look, from an apparently small matter, where does it eventually reach? If every person discharges his own dues and obligation, then neither will the host become a sinner, and nor will the guest become one who is a sinner or one who makes the other a sinner. It is a great favor of Allah upon us that 99.99% of the members of the Jamaat, they listen to the advice, they listen to the guidance, and they also make efforts to implement that guidance. There are one or two people who are a bit stubborn. So therefore, such people should also demonstrate high moral values, and they should also try to further enlighten the beauty of the Jamaat. If such people are advised and counseled, then it should not be assumed that because of these few people, why should this matter be raised to such a great degree? Because these one or two people who are counseled or advised, they also benefit from this advice. This is why the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, the advice he provided to his companions. Now, he did not state that looking at the combined actions of the companions. He imparted that guidance based on the actions of just one or two people. The companions had reached the highest levels of piety and morality. In fact, the Muhajirin, when they migrated and came to Medina, then for a very long duration, the Ansar served the Muhajirin, and we find no equal example to the way that the Ansar served the Muhajirin. Now, it may be said that they became like brothers to one another, and that brotherhood was fostered, and that they became like household members to each other. But despite the fact that the attitude of the Ansar was such that the Muhajirs lived on a permanent basis and they developed relations with each other, but still, they treated the Muhajirin as guests. Sometimes they would provide even greater provisions and amenities to the Muhajirin than what they would keep for themselves. But the attitude of the Muhajirin, there were some amongst them who would say that, "Do not treat us in this way with this hospitality. Do not give us from your own right. Just tell us the way to the market so that we can stand up on our own feet and so that we can earn our own livelihood." So despite the fact that the vast majority of the companions of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, were those who established on piety and who kept care of every small matter, still the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would advise and counsel them. Therefore, nobody should think that you should not counsel just one or two people who do not act properly. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would keep on reminding people and drawing their attention towards the highest moral standards. And he reminded his companions for the reason that may it not be that this standard ever drops. It was the spiritual power of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that produced such people who envisaged such high moral standards. He produced such people, the example of which we do not find anywhere. And another reason why he would remind and admonish again and again was for the reason that new converts who become either hosts or who become guests. He also did it so that they are also provided moral training. And by bringing these things to the fore, their levels of morality and their levels of piety could also raise to the highest levels. The Holy Quran instructs us, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ, that excel with one another in performing good deeds. This is the commandment of the Holy Quran. By drawing attention towards these matters, it draws attention towards everybody increasing in good deeds. Secondly, this as well, that if you are advancing in performing pious deeds and you observe that my brother over there is falling behind, then you should grab his hand and you should also bring him forward. if you are climbing the stairs of piety and virtue. So where there is this competition to vie with one another in good deeds, then you should also try to push those who are falling behind and make them climb the stairs, so that as a nation, we can all move forward towards advancement and progress, and that no individual remains who is not making efforts in accordance with his given capabilities. This beauty and this excellence can only be inculcated at that point, when believers are in the form of one Jamaat or community. So therefore, when advice and guidance is imparted, when small matters are identified and drawn attention towards, then this is not done to embarrass or shame people. And neither is this done to harm the sentiments of anybody. In fact, this is done to increase the piety in people. In the previous mention of hospitality last week, I said that when somebody made the statement that poor people eat dal in the house, and then sometimes in poor countries people do not even receive dal, that is lentils. And instead, rich people are used to eating meat. And this is why in the langar, in the public kitchen, normally lentils should be made for them. And lentils should be given to these people, and for rich people, meat should be made. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, when he heard this, he was extremely displeased, because he said only one type of food should be cooked for all Jalsa guests. But on one occasion, he also advised the poor people. And Sheikh Muhammad Ismail Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, has narrated this account, who says that for the afternoon lunch, I would prepare food for both gatherings. There would be one gathering for new guests who would sit with the promised Messiah alayhi salam and eat lunch. And then the second gathering would be of our own people here locally. At times, the promised Messiah alayhi salam would say during his speeches that, look, if a person is poor and at home he is always eating lentils and pita bread, so if he receives that same simple food of lentils here, you should not feel bad about that. At certain times, we do make special arrangements for these richer people, such as meat and other arrangements, so that because of their normal custom or routine, they do not fall ill. If they are given lentils, then that purpose for which they have come will not be fulfilled, because their health will suffer. Poor people should not try to imitate the rich people. This is why here, at certain times, different foods are made. And this is made according to the temperament of certain people, because according to the temperament of certain nations, foods may not suit them. Therefore, according to the circumstances, if at any one time a decision is made to make different foods, then no individual should feel bad about that, and no person should feel bad about that. But normally, what is endeavored is that one type of food should be prepared. Apart from people who are ill, or guests who come from other countries, or non-Muslims who come to attend, for them, special arrangements for food are made. But it is not the duty of office holders and duty workers that they should arrange special food for themselves. When this question was once raised, and I mentioned this in my previous week's sermon, that an office holder, he arranged for quails to be cooked for himself and for the guests. When they came to know and they inquired, they were not given this. So when this was brought to the knowledge of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, immediately he ordered those quails brought to him, and he sent them to the guest. And the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, said that from tomorrow, quails will be made for everybody. And he did this so that justice could be maintained. I have heard that somebody, as a joke, sent a message to the administration of the Jalsa that now you have been assigned a duty that you should make quails at the Jalsa. Perhaps the officer, Jalsa Sadana, became very anxious hearing this because this is his first year. And he becomes anxious very quickly due to sometimes the weather conditions as well. Pray for him especially, that Allah the Almighty blesses his endeavors. And the officer Saab should also be reassured that this demand for quails is not any serious demand. But anyhow, every single person should take care that the respect of guests and their sentiments, they must be looked after. Instead of quails, you can give lentils, but whatever the case, give it with respect. Hazrat Mia Abdul Aziz Sahib Mughal, he relates an account that when in Lahore, Hazrat Sahib, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, came to give a lecture, that he stayed for 16 days in Lahore. Now amongst the people who were responsible for arranging the food was also me. Perhaps Khalifa Rajputdeen said to a guest that also drink water alongside. So perhaps he was eating food and he said that whilst eating food also you should drink water. Now somehow this incident reached the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that guests are teased or put to inconvenience and food is not given to the guests satisfactorily. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam came outside and he stood in the doorway and he said, who is responsible here? So we replied that we are the servants of Hazur. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam said that I have heard that guests are not being provided food satisfactorily and some people are said to go eat food in the market. Is this correct? So we replied that Hazur, perhaps informally this may have been said, otherwise all the arrangements are just fine. The Promised Messiah ﷺ said, no, I will make arrangements for this langar, this public kitchen myself, because these guests are mine. Therefore, the responsibility for the running of this comes under me. So some friends together requested forgiveness and they said that we will be careful in the future. And the Promised Messiah ﷺ forgave them and then the langar public kitchen kept on running from the Jamaat. So therefore, duty workers, even if they are talking informally to some close relation of theirs, if that person has come as a guest of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam in the Promised Messiah alayhi salam's public kitchen, langar, then you need to take care of that person's sentiments and his feelings. If not just once, but twice or even 20 times somebody comes to eat food, then without any expression, you should give him salan, that is the curry. But here I will also say to the guests that they should not waste the food. Sometimes I have gone and seen myself that people leave food inside the plate and they waste it. Some people from the alu gosh, the potato and the meat, they may only eat what they like from it. For example, they may eat the pieces of meat or the shorba, that is the curry. But then normally they waste the potatoes. Apart from those people from here in Europe, they normally eat potatoes. So anyhow, apart from those people who do not like potato at all, there are some people who cannot eat potato. They have some medical reason for not eating it. The guests should also take care of this, that they should not waste that salan, that curry. They should only place in the plate as much as they can eat. Nevertheless, it is the attitude of both hosts and guests that can foster a beautiful atmosphere. Once the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, he became extremely furious upon a duty worker because he started picking up plates from in front of guests. The guests were eating food, some guests eat slowly. And he started picking up the plates whilst they were eating. And the Promised Messiah alayhi salam said that until the guest does not finish the food himself and says himself, pick up the plate, it is not your duty to pick it up. And do not ever again say to the guest that we have to finish our duty, therefore hurry up. But there is also a general guidance for the guests that after eating food, they should get up. However much time it takes to eat food, that is fine. But do not just stay there and start talking with each other. In fact, Allah the Almighty has included this guidance in the Holy Quran with reference to the Holy Prophet ﷺ that do not waste time, get up. This is a basic principle of high moral standards and this should be adopted and implemented. There are duty workers They also need to take rest. They need to wind up their work. The guests should also consider the feelings of these workers as well. One major purpose of Jalsa Salana is developing a relationship with Allah. Therefore, it is also necessary for the attendees of Jalsa, both the duty workers, they should also remember, and also the guests, that in order to foster this relationship with Allah, you need to give great attention towards your prayers and also your voluntary prayers and also towards general prayers, because within this is a solution to all our problems. The companions of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, what were their examples in this regard? How passionately they would perform their prayers. I will give one example of this. Hadrat Ata Muhammad Khan Sahib radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, son of Nati Khan Sahib, says, one blessing of the era of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that despite the fact I was a child, but as soon as I stood up in prayer, I would become overcome in emotion and my tears would not stop flowing. And then I would say salam and the prayer would be completed. So therefore, Allah the Almighty enabled me to meet His beloved Prophet of Allah and champion of Allah. He gave me this opportunity. This is a great grace of Allah upon me. Otherwise, I heard my grandfather crying greatly that I do not know when the time of the Mahdi would come, but Allah's favor descended upon me that we had the opportunity to meet the promised Messiah alayhi salam. All praise belongs to Allah, Lord of all the worlds, and we saw thousands of the signs of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, which testify to the truth of his prophethood, and I am sure that he was a prophet of Allah. So therefore, we are those people who, although do not have the opportunity to meet the promised Messiah alayhi salam in person, but Allah the Almighty has enabled us to accept His claim. We have become those who have fulfilled the command of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. So thus, in your prayers and in your nawafil, voluntary prayers, you need to give special attention towards these things. We need to become grateful towards Allah, and whilst doing this, in our prayers and in our voluntary prayers, we need to develop a great heart-burning passion and also a great deep feeling. Allah the Almighty has enabled us to accept the promised Messiah alayhi salam and become his follower, and then in this era, in this current time, the opponents of Ahmadiyyat have reached the peak of their opposition. So it is individual and communal prayers as well as a relationship with Allah alone that can frustrate them. And we need to give special attention towards these things nowadays. Another matter that must be remembered is that people come for the Jalsa. People meet with one another and some meet each other after a long time. At times, new acquaintances are formed, and then there is a desire that we should sit with one another and find out more about the other person. But after the Jalsa proceedings, during the interval period, you can sit down in gatherings and talk, but here as well, instead of talking about worthless things, you should remember Allah's favors and Allah's blessings. There are many beloved ones who have departed us. They should be remembered. Their pieties can be recalled. Then different righteous accounts should be recalled. Then there are new relations. They are also formed in these days. Sometimes people have to sit with one another out of these new relations. Women in particular, during the intervals, women in particular should take care that during the interval, they should only talk about these matters. And there as well, whether it is in communal accommodations or in the intervals or at homes. Then discussion should only be held for a certain time period. Sometimes people stay awake for the whole night and then their morning prayer is not performed. So therefore, do not stay awake so long that the optional prayers at night and your Fajr prayer in the morning is left behind. Instead, with a great regard or at home or wherever you are staying, you should understand the concept of the Hajjat. It is then that you can take benefit from a spiritual ambience and environment. I especially want to remind women towards this point that as the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has explained, that the Jalsa Salana is not a worldly festival. So therefore, the attendee of Jalsa should keep his eye fixed upon this point. That I need to increase my levels of spirituality, education, and also morality. And I need to take benefit from this environment. When a person thinks in this manner, then those ladies who exhibit their jewelry and their clothing, they will instead come wearing simple clothing, or they will come with this thought that our actual purpose of coming here is to listen to the Jalsa. So this is a thought that should be kept in your mind. An appropriate and suitable clothing should be worn which covers. Complaints are sent about people's clothing that they are such and such type, which does not in any way maintain the sanctity of an Ahmadi woman. So therefore, the clothing should be of a kind that covers the beauty. And Allah the Almighty has guided us regarding this, that whilst treading on the path of taqwa, that is righteousness and fear of Allah, that dress that you wear, that will be the dress that covers your beauty. In this same light, men and women have both been instructed that they should adopt ghadde basar, that is, keep their eyes lowered. They should not unnecessarily lift their glances and look here and there. This is also something extremely crucial in this environment. Sometimes on certain paths, men and women are walking together. They should take care of this. And this is extremely important to maintain the sanctity of the environment. And this is also crucial for everybody's morality. Special attention must also be given towards this. Now I will draw attention towards some administrative matters. That for your safety, there is increased and more stricter security. You should tolerate this happily. If you pass through the scanner and to have your luggage checked, both these things are extremely significant, and you need to present yourselves for this service. If sometimes you slip through the net mistakenly, then even then you should present yourselves that we should be checked. Do not incorrectly assume that as you have been checked once and then, as sometimes happen, that you have gone outside and come back again and you do not need to be rechecked. However many times you leave, whenever you have to return, then you will be checked. It is also the duty of those who check that even if it is somebody they are acquainted with, they must check them. Guests or attendees should never be troubled by this. But on the men's and women's side, the male or female workers whose duty is at the scanners who have to check, I would like to also say to them that most definitely do check, but also try that however quickly you can check, you must do so that people are not troubled or suffer too much, and that also the Jalsa can start in time and people can enter in the marquee at the right time. Then the security workers who do duty, I have already reminded them that wherever there are fences, do not think the fence is alone sufficient. Along with the fencing, they need to give special attention and duty there. And they need to discharge their duties with great vigilance and care. Wherever anybody is performing any duty, do not consider it that duty to be trivial or menial. A mischief maker can make trouble anywhere. So therefore, not only duty holders, In fact, all attendees of the Jalsa, they need to remain vigilant in their own areas. These days, as I have already said, should be spent in prayers. And alongside this, according to your capabilities, also give attention towards sadhka. I spoke about scanners. So this time it has been attempted that, generally speaking, as many routes of entry are made, so that nobody is troubled or suffers in any way. Those who are ill, those who have children, they have been tried to given better provisions and facilities. But still, at times, there are certain difficulties that come to the fore. Do not become impatient and intolerant upon these. Then, during the speeches, do not raise slogans more than necessary. Some people have the habit of raising many slogans. In fact, the central system of raising slogans should only be raised through that. It is their responsibility and they should raise slogans. However, when you raise any slogan, then you should reply to the slogan in a passionate manner. It should not be that no voice even emanates from you. You should listen to all the speeches in the Jalsa Gah. You should not go outside and wander here and there. I have said this already, that this is not appropriate. The purpose for which you have come, try to fulfill that purpose. Every speech contains certain aspects that are for your benefit or which are new for you. Take special care of cleanliness. Do not throw your rubbish here and there. In fact, you find any kind of disposable plate or glasses or anything else lying around, immediately put it into the bin. Then there is the work of the toilets and its cleanliness. Take special care of this as well. The duty workers do clean this, and with the grace of Almighty Allah, they selflessly, that is, the men and women who are appointed to this, they selflessly are carrying this duty out. But guests must also take care of the following, that in the toilets and in the bathrooms, there should be cleanliness. In particular, when you take your shoes with mud, you should clean this. Although the rain has now stopped, but we do not know what will happen. But still, the ground is soft, and because of this, dirt and mud attaches to your shoes, and therefore you should take special care of cleanliness in the toilets. It should not be dirty. Then, once you enter the Jalsa Gah, something you must take special care of is that those who have come before, if they have not any excuse or reason, they should come forward so that the people who come behind can sit comfortably. And in this way, those who come after, wherever they find space, they should sit down. They should not try to jump over one another. Once during a gathering in which the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was present, a person who was climbing over other people, the Promised Messiah became furious and left the gathering, and he said to Hadrat Khalif Tumasih I that admonish this person, and then Hadrat Khalif Tumasih I admonished him in very stern words. So therefore, wherever you find space, you should sit down. Those who have come before, they should go to the front, and those who come after, wherever they find space, they should sit down. But anyhow, every person must take care of this, that there are people who will come after, so there should be no empty spaces left. As you come, you should fill up those empty spaces. Then, in the end, once again, I would like to draw attention to all of you, that in these days in particular, you should spend these days immersed through your prayers. May Allah the Almighty grant us all the ability to accomplish this.